Welcome back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine on this Sunday morning. Led Zeppelin, for all you heavy rock fans. Led Zeppelin. Can't wait to find out if Ballard knows who Led Zeppelin is. We are we're live in the studio on this episode 622. We're going to be taking your calls 855-787-1033. The text machine number is 21000 21000. Start off with the letters ESPN. Those texts come right to us. Don't forget you can watch us live on Facebook. If you don't know how to get to Facebook or if you don't have Facebook, you can go to our website, InsideSportsMedicine.com, and there is a live icon, and it will guide you through two or three different ways of getting here. I think we have a YouTube channel. I'm not 100% sure, but you can see us on live stream, YouTube, Facebook. There's all kinds of stuff. And if you miss any part of the show and you want to see it again later, on our Facebook page, I know that it's just a loop. It just keeps running. You can watch it anytime you want to. So before we went on break, this is one of the items that I was going to talk about. Was the injury at Wimbledon. Not necessarily because I'm a huge tennis fan, but I do watch Wimbledon. It makes for nice background music, background noise. Although the girls grunt. That is so annoying, this grunting. I can't be the only person to say that is so annoying.
They've always grunted.
Can you give me a clip?
Yeah.
Harrison, see if you can find us a clip of these girls hitting the ball back and forth and grunting.
Nobody talks in the stands, so all you just hear is the yelling.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. We're going to get to that. Anyway, so I'm watching Wimbledon, and this girl falls, and I wasn't paying attention, but all of a sudden there's a crowd around her. People are crying. They're grabbing her heads. And, you know, we find out later, Bethany Mattek-Sands, 32-year-old, she's famous for her doubles tennis, did what? What did the paper say she did?
Well, don't go by the paper, because by the paper you'll have no idea what happened to her.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
What did the paper say?
So I'll give you her three diagnoses. She dislocated her patella tendon. She dislocated her knee. She ruptured her patella tendon.
And she dislocated her kneecap.
Her kneecap. So do you understand first of all, you have no idea what injury really, really occurred.
I dislocate a tendon.
No, you don't.
You don't, right?
You don't.
So, I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Like, so we were talking about terminology, how important it is in our profession. When you talk, you really need to talk with the precision of language to have an intelligent conversation.
Well, right. And the reason that this trickles down to mom and dad is because this is an injury that we see. This is a patellar tendon rupture. We probably see one a week. Mm-hmm. Heck, a Texas sports medicine wouldn't be surprised between the five of us if we see maybe one or two a week. So this is an injury. And then mom and dad read this in the paper, and they say, wow, she did all four of these things playing tennis. I'm probably not going to let my kid play tennis.
Yeah.
Wait a second. It is a long way to go.
Yeah, it's like, can we hit the brakes?
Exactly. So what? This is a 32-year-old professional tennis player
who's probably played for 20 years.
Exactly. So I'm doing this for your behalf, Brad, on your behalf. I was reminiscing to the listeners in the last segment that I did an episode called Sports Medicine Secrets. Mm-hmm. And one of the five sports medicine secrets that I discovered in my 30 years of sports medicine is don't believe what you read in the paper about an injury.
Right.
Because especially in a sport, individual sport, because those releases, PR releases, emanate from the athlete themselves or the athlete's people.
Right.
And therefore, they can be manipulated numerous ways to make the athlete look better.
We talked about the Tiger Woods.
That was it. That was the example I used.
Right.
Exactly. Well, so in tennis, Dr. Mayer was just reading to all of us, the four things she happened. Don't believe everything you see in the paper. But probably what happened is she ruptured her patellar tendon. If you look at the facts, 32 years old, been playing tennis for, I don't know, her whole life probably. Mm-hmm. The the set of circumstances that were described, where the kneecap dislocated, where the patellar tendon either ruptured or dislocated. Bottom line is she ruptured her patellar tendon because it had mileage on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's no different than that what you had with your Achilles tendon rupture. It's the same injury. And what happened with your Achilles rupture, when you ruptured your tendon, the muscle recoiled.
Yep.
Well, same thing. You ruptured the patellar tendon, which is, by the way, for everybody else, it's the little tendon underneath the kneecap where we hit the reflex, where, you know, the doctors hit the hammer on the little tendon to get your reflex. Well, that's called the patellar tendon. It's crucial. You can't walk without it. This is one of those injuries where if you rupture your patellar tendon, it's got to be fixed. There's just not a non-surgical option.
This is the Jimmy Graham injury, the Victor Cruz injury, the same injury that you've seen these NFL guys.
Rampant. Rampant.
But crazy that you're seeing it in a female tennis player.
It is a bit crazy.
The rarity.
But understand the injury. The injury is you got a tendon, it's got a lot of mileage, it ruptures, the kneecaps recoil, so it dislocates, and it's pretty gruesome looking. I mean, it's right. You know, the kneecap's not where it's supposed to be. You know, to the uninitiated, the first thing they're going to look at is, oh, she dislocated her kneecap. No. It's a lot more than that.
Right. And so you've always talked about healthy tendons don't rupture.
Healthy tendons don't rupture.
Right.
So, look, if this was a 18-year-old tennis player, yeah, she dislocated her kneecap, her patellar tendon's fine. 32-year-old tennis player, yeah, you ruptured your patellar tendon, kneecap popped out of place. Now we got to fix it. And in the paper this morning, or at least online this morning, they were talking about her having to have surgery. But there's no other alternative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to be a tough comeback from that. Let's shift this injury, because it's a bit unusual to see it in a woman. It's a bit unusual to see it on live TV. And talk about all the NFL players have had this. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable number.
On a sidebar with this, we talk about tendon ruptures. An upper extremity tendon rupture in a female would be unheard of.
You mean like a biceps?
A bicep or a tricep. Unheard of. Never seen it.
You know what? Now that you mention that, yeah.
It would never happen.
I can't think about
it. It would literally be
either training or out that I've had an upper extremity.
It'd be a case report. And what a case report means is we would report this in the medical literature of what in the world happened. How did a female rupture an upper extremity tendon?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, in my 29 years of sports medicine, I've never seen a patellar tendon rupture in a woman. Never.
A patellar tendon rupture?
Never.
Really?
Not a woman. I've seen Achilles.
Right.
I've seen shoulders.
Only seen them traumatic. Dashboard injuries, car accidents, things like that.
Right.
But not sports.
Never.
Not sports. So this makes it a little unusual. You kind of wonder why. You know, maybe she had chronic tendonitis. Maybe she had some needling of some sort. You know, something is a bit unusual. And one of the things that I'm just going to throw out there, a tad controversial. When I hear NFL linemen,
I know where you're going,
patellar tendon rupture, what comes to mind is performance-enhancing drugs.
And we'll give you the alternative, right? Antibiotics. There are certain antibiotics that cause tendon ruptures. You have to start going all the way down the list of how did this happen. You know, number one, obviously, for all of us will be overuse. Yep, that's one, two, and three.
And that's probably what happened.
And then you can go down the list of other potential things.
Maybe she was on Cipro.
Possibly, exactly.
She had an infection of some sort. Maybe. Yep. But you know, the people around her ought to know better than to put her on Cipro if she's an athlete. Look, I wanted
to
bring...
You say that?
Common sense isn't so common sometimes.
Yeah. Isn't this interesting, that one little story? I'm hoping that you guys listening out there have learned what a patellar tendon rupture is, what we think about, that there are certain medications that cause Achilles ruptures, and we don't prescribe them in the sports medicine world. Interesting. I'm going to take this call from Jeff, only because I've already got something planned for the top of the hour, so that means I wouldn't get to this call until mid 11 o'clock. So here, let's do this. Hey, Jeff, good morning. What's up?
Hi, you guys there?
Yep, we're here. What you got?
Hey, thank you, first of all, for what you do. It's fantastic.
That's flattering. I appreciate
it. I'm fascinated with, you know, talking about the injuries, patellar tendon. With the ACL injuries, you know, is it still the gold standard to either use the patellar tendon or the hamstring tendon? Because it seems like the allografts just don't pass muster. They tend to blow up. I mean, I've had five ACLs now, and Every allograft is just turned into the store-bought crab meat.
Wow.
Jeff, you've had five?
You know more about ACLs than probably a lot of doctors.
You probably know more about it than we do.
No, I mean, it's just, I was a nutrition major. I didn't have the, let's just say, the brain power that you guys have to go through school. But, yeah, at that same level you guys did. But I've been fascinated with it. I haven't had so many ACL injuries. I've had 9 knee surgeries total. 5 have been ACL ruptures, and it's just remarkable.
Both knees, please.
To see how far medicine has progressed, and I just wondered if there's any changes in the ACL protocol.
So your ACL ruptures on both knees, or just all 5 have been in the same one?
No, I've had 2 on the left and 3 on the right.
ACLs?
Oh. Yes.
And every one of them was an allograft?
No.
All the allografts blew up. A very famous ACL surgeon, who I won't mention, but you guys obviously know who I'm talking about.
Local?
Redid the left one the last time, and then another one down in Mobile, Alabama, redid the right one the last time.
So big picture, I want to back up, because we talked about ACLs, and the very first phone call today was an ACL. We know that once it ruptures, it doesn't heal, so we need to substitute for it to give you a stable knee. And so you said the gold standard, you know, patellar tendon or hamstring. I'm going to tell you that in my book, the gold standard is patellar tendon. It is not the hamstring. I don't like doing hamstrings because, in my opinion, they have an unacceptable failure rate. But a third alternative is using a cadaver. Now, once you use a cadaver, which is an allograft, then it becomes, well, are you using a cadaver that's patellar tendon? Are you using a cadaver that's Achilles tendon? Are you using a cadaver that's a hamstring tendon? And then it degenerates from there. Then, are you using a cadaver that was irradiated? Are you using a cadaver that was just washed? And then it deteriorates even further. So there are lots of unanswered questions in your case, Jeff. I will tell you.
You obviously see where I was going with
absolutely.
The comments, because that's where my mind was, like, yeah, these allografts keep blowing up. There's got to be something here that ties into why these keep blowing up.
Can you give us the order of what happened to you, Jeff, in terms of
the first one?
What was it?
Absolutely. No, back when I used to work in the government, you know, working in that dope, basically, and I got crushed by a semi-truck on duty. And it wasn't in the car. It crushed me into another vehicle.
Oh, gosh.
And I did both the ACLs on the same day.
But what graft was used for your first ACL for each knee?
They were the allograft.
On both of them. And then you ruptured, those both ruptured, and then what was your second graft for each knee?
Now, the one they redid on the right side, the final one, the second one was a patella tendon. They took that middle one-third.
Yep, from you. Yes.
And then, obviously, by the time the right one blew up again, they took the middle one-third on the right side.
So at the end of the day, you're living right now with patellar tendon autograft, your own grafts for both knees.
And have had no problems.
So
there you go. That's the gold standard.
That's our gold standard. That's our preferences. And honestly, a lot of people worry about age and this and that or the other. Look, I just did one of these on a 58-year-old guy. He's doing fantastic. I don't let age necessarily be my criteria. The other thing, some people use allografts. Number one, you said, you know, you were in a government. I don't know where you had them done initially. It is, look, the surgery, if you get an allograft for the surgeon, that's just an easier thing. It's, you know, you got a graft that's already prepared. All you're doing is drilling the tunnels and putting them in. Potentially, they technically didn't want to do an autograft on you. Maybe they're not comfortable harvesting that graft. Maybe.
Well, if his initial injury was acute traumatic, you know, maybe they didn't want to do too much damage right off the bat.
Possibly. You can wait. You don't have to, even if you had an acute injury, an ACL does not have to be done. It's not like a broken bone that needs to be taken care of, you know, in an acute time period. You have time. So, again, not our preference.
I mean, I had a horrible set of injuries. I mean, my cervical spine had to be fused. My lumbar spine had to be fused.
Yeah, so
I broke the left hip. I broke the left hand. I actually, when I did the ACLs initially, I did the MCL and the medial meniscus with it, but the unfortunate triad.
Yeah. A terrible triad. here's the thing.
Unfortunate all that.
You're describing a terrible injury, Jeff. So I cannot go back and second guess the use of allografts initially because none of us were there. But once those allografts fail, if you still have your own patellar tendon, that is the gold standard, and that was your question, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah. I have one more question, if I could, because you guys deal with it a lot here, because football is such an unbelievable sport here in Texas.
Yep.
Are you noticing a higher incident of lumbar spinal injuries with the push to get these kids Olympic lifting? Because I've been fascinated by this for years, ever since I was a kid, and it just seems to me that we're seeing greater explosion, let's say, of spondylolysis, yep. spondylolisthesis, mm-hmm. where L5 sits over S1 as it relates to Olympic-style lifting.
Well,
maybe lifting in general.
Since I'm the oldest,
I'm going to ask you guys if you're noticing more.
Well, since I'm the oldest one in the room, I'm going to take this one. The answer is yes. I am noticing far more lumbar spine injuries in younger athletes. It used to be that if you saw a 16-year-old with a herniated disc, man, you wrote that one up. Now we see it a lot more often, and I don't know exactly what to attribute it to. Perhaps it's the lifting. I don't know.
I'm just going to say it all falls under the category of overuse, that the way kids train nowadays is so much more advanced, so much more year-round, so much more sports specialization, that's really what's the driving factor.
And they're lifting incorrectly.
See, that's what I've just been doing. I've been watching so many videos of it, especially now that I'm done with my master's. And it seems as if there's a shearing force that takes place on the lumbar spine when you're taking your own body weight, the body weight of the lift, and bringing it to the floor, at a high rate of speed. And when you're trying to come out of the hole, you can almost see that spine go hypolordotic.
Yep. You pegged it. All right, we got to go on break, Jeff. Thank you.
Good call.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Great phone call. Yep.
As soon as he started talking, I was like, no, this guy knows more about
he's using the
sports
right
medicine
words
than the average guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've had five ACLs. I think you got to.
You're throwing out words like spondylolisthesis.
He got on the job training.
Exactly. I can barely say that enough.
855-787-1033. Let me start over again. I was going to say I'm glad Dr. Ballard is because the next segment we're going to talk about these orthopedic emergency rooms, which.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah.
Flag on the play already. There's a flag already on the play.
Flag on the issue.
21,000 is the text machine number, 21000. Start off with the letters ESPN. Text us where you're listening from. Also on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from.
Yeah.
What is the word on Facebook? Facebook us?
Oh my God.
Coming right back.
This is like a car wreck with
you,
man.
Like a car wreck with you.